Young people, you're dismissed.
Thank you, Pastor. Good to be here this morning. Thank you for coming. Open your Bibles this morning, the book of James. It's so wonderful to be able to teach the Word of God and not have to be concerned about the preaching service to fall in just a little while. God has enabled us to be around a while. As a matter of fact, we're closing out our 64th year in ministry. And Brother Earl, didn't you say this was your anniversary? And you've been married how many years? 34. Well, we're not quite double that, but James chapter 3. We've been looking at the book of James for the several lessons now. We'll have at least one more after this one, maybe two, on today's subject. The subject is building blocks of wisdom. And I hope that you will take some notes or some passages that I would encourage you to study in this next week and let the Holy Spirit open the meeting to you, that we can, as the old saying goes, use what we got. If we just use what we have, then we will see God's blessing upon our lives and in our church. The believer who is serious about his salvation will think about the purpose and in his heart to pursue holiness, and that's been our theme, pursuing holiness or the pursuit of holiness. To the seeker of wisdom, we need wisdom to be holy, don't we? Well, to be more holy, to give God more of us. And the seeker of wisdom, the Lord will continue to draw us to Him. And I just love it when I sense His presence upon my life. I know He's there, and we know He's there all the time. But to pause and sense it, that's a different situation. That's a different blessing. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the Bible says, "Fall of peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord." Now, always stands to be reiterated that if you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He comes and lives in you as a person, and that makes you holy. We're not holy by anything we do. We are holy by the release of our spirit to Him. The more He has of us, then the more He can do with us in holiness. Our first lesson was chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. And I'd like for you to go back and look at those again, not this morning, but in another time. We noticed that in our pursuit of holiness, the first rattle out of the bag, the first thing we're going to face is some trials. Trials is the testing of our faith to make us stronger. You see those many times in the life of Jesus as He worked with His disciples. They got in the boat to go across the lake of Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, and He took a nap. He'd been teaching. He was going to teach some more. He took a nap. Well, the devil tried to kill Him. He was in a big storm, and the waves were washing over into the boat. They said, "Master, Master, we perish. Carest Thou not that we perish?" And He arose and calmed the sea, and I tried to picture that in my mind's eye just instantly. Sun shining, the waves are calm. And He says, "Where was your faith?" So in our tests and trials, the Lord is there. It might seem like He's asleep, but it's we who are weak in the faith. And we could give many other illustrations. And then the next lesson, we need to get rid of our prejudices. We're all prejudiced to some degree. Sometimes it's people of other nationalities. I like to startle people once in a while, and I make the statement, there's just one really superior race of people upon the face of the earth, and that's the human race. All the rest is nationality. All the other divisions is nationality. There's no such thing as racism. Just one race. That's what the Bible teaches. And all the rest is tongues, personalities, nationalities, where you live, and so forth. But we need to get rid of our prejudices. We're even prejudiced in church. There are those you prefer over others. I won't go into that again today. That was another lesson that we've already had. And then we talked about the tongue. That wonderful little flipper flapper inside our mouth. What a wonderful organ it is. I find it so useful when I get to taste a ribeye steak or maybe some smoked pork loin or whatever it is. I love it to have it around. But then one of the primary functions of that little flipper flapper is talking. Oh, I love to talk. My wife says, well, I wonder what happened to my husband. I'll go over to the post office. I wonder what happened to my husband. He ran into somebody he could talk to. And every once in a while, I'll thank a group of people. I say, thank you for giving an old man the opportunity to talk for a while. I try to say something that's useful. But talking is where the trouble usually begins. A lady and her husband was attending a forum. And it was one where they were allowed to ask questions or contribute to the subject. And she had really become involved and had been quite animated. And pretty soon she stood up again. And her husband, what are you going to say now? She said, how do I know until I hear myself say it? Maybe that's something we all do once in a while. It's either amen or oh me. In James chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, our last lesson offers us some blistering thoughts about the use of that little organ, the tongue. And the challenge is that we strive to bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit. If our words could always be seasoned with salt, we would do a lot more good for the glory of God and perhaps save ourselves from embarrassment, maybe cause people to remain friends a little longer. But we do say things sometimes that we ought not. But the Bible tells us to bring every thought into captivity, and if we do that, then the tongue is going to behave likewise. Sometimes we just have to bite your tongue. Not too hard to bring blood, but bite your tongue. And we've all been in that situation. Difficult. And then abruptly here in James chapter 3, it seems like the subject has changed, but oh, so essential. Verses 13 to 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't be too proud. Lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's a sad thing to think, sometimes people think they have something and they don't have it. Do you know what's worse than that? To not have it and not know that they don't have it. I look at the wisdom of the world. We were laughing a little while ago. Our president infuriated the media again yesterday. Oh, they were mad. I mean, the anger, I told my wife, just look at the anger in that woman's eyes. She was enraged because he dared just go to the people by Twitter than going through the channel of the media. They think they are so wise, but they have the wisdom of the world. They are smart in a lot of ways, but they lack the wisdom of God. Some folk have attained a high level of knowledge. They have a an extremely good IQ. I love what old Jerry Clower used to say. He says, some folk are just educated beyond their intelligence. They don't use good sense. They don't use what we call common sense. And we'll get into that somewhere in one of the lessons. They have a lot of knowledge, but their wisdom is worldly wisdom. The Bible tells us that God is the source, the only source of true wisdom for believers, and He will give it without hesitation. He provides it for us, and there in chapter 1 of James in verse 5. I mean, the very first thing, the very rattle out of the box. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't chide us when we come to Him and ask Him, Lord, I need to know how to handle this. That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing that you need Him. You can park that down. Wisdom is knowing that you need Him and His will and His knowledge and His direction. I thank the Lord every day that I can remember Him for the last several days. Lord, I'm glad that You know how this is going to turn out. And I can rest in peace, that I don't have to get agitated or upset or let it bother me or disturb me in any way. I'm comfortable in my faith that God is in control. Nothing is going to happen without His knowledge. God isn't surprised about anything. We need His wisdom. We need neither protocol nor priest to go before the throne of grace. If you're going to go see the president, there's protocol. You have to have permission. And chances are you won't see. We're invited to come into the very throne room of the Almighty. Turn back over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. I love this, the entire book here. Verse 12 talks about the Word of God looking at our heart, looking at our life, and able to discern between our thoughts and intents. He knows why we're asking. But it goes in verse 16, he says, let us therefore, after all that's said and done, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can ask Him for help of every kind, and essentially, wisdom. There in verse chapter 1, talking about wisdom, God says, don't waver in your faith. Don't waver. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. We get confused and it becomes meaningless and becomes purposeless and becomes fruitless and futile. What is vacillating? What is wavering? Well, it's asking and not believing. Asking and not using it for that which it is intended. We don't ask for the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh. We'll get into that. But we ask for His glory. We ask for His purpose to be fulfilled in and through our lives. We're becoming more like the Master. I love to sing that song. More like the Master is my daily prayer. And it goes on about five verses. There are more of this and more of Him. And when we do that, it's less of self and more of Christ. We're being useful in the service of the King. I don't mind saying it. I've often wondered why I'm still here. I'm prepared to go to glory, but I love life. I love living. One of the things is getting to teach once in a while. Another thing is this Bible study. I'm reluctant to take it on a permanent basis. Well, there are several factors about that. I'm not lazy. I'm willing to do it every day of the week if I had the opportunity. I might do that. I don't know. I just want to be in God's will in it. That's all I want. We are seeing some fruit. I had hoped that some folk would be here this morning as a result of the Bible study to attend Sunday school, but they're not here. But we're still going to keep on asking Him. We're still going to keep on believing Him. And we're going to ask and believe that He is going to fulfill His purpose in our lives. Vacillating is also asking and not acknowledging that you have received it. We become selfish. for whatever reason, we don't follow through and use what he gives us. So this brings us to the building blocks of wisdom here in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. There is, he says, a wisdom of this world. We're going to go back and forth a little bit to Proverbs, so hold your place here. And first of all, we're going to go to Proverbs 2. We've been reading a chapter in Proverbs every day for the last many years. My wife and I have as a part of our morning devotional. It's not a ritual. It's an enjoyment. We see things today that we didn't see last month. Chapter 2. There's just so much in the book of Proverbs about wisdom. And as we read it this month, we're going to be making some notes about how often wisdom is used is here in Proverbs and how it is applicable to our daily life. In Proverbs 2, look down to verses 16 and 18. 16 through 18. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Make a note of that. You might want to underline it. And that means purveyor of false knowledge, purveyor of worldly wisdom. That's the false woman. Now, in other times in Proverbs, it's talking about wicked woman physically, but this is talking about the system of false knowledge, the system, the world system of worldly wisdom, which flattereth, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Look back to verse 1. We're going to go ahead and read that instead of coming back and forth a little bit. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, notice that, wisdom, knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Isn't that a powerful passage? Just love it. The wisdom of the world here in James 3 is compared to the wisdom of God. So many young people I have known, family, my grandkids, have gone to college. And if it becomes known that you're a believer in Christ, you are either immediately faced or at least they make plans to make fun of your faith. I've known young people to be challenged for their faith. And sometimes they cow down if they try to defend themselves, and they're ridiculed. They're bullied. So many listen, and the professor denounces God. They denounce his virtue. Our colleges are filled with antichrist. Anybody who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is against Christ. If they're against Christ, they are anti-Christ. 1 John says there are many that are in the world. This kind of teaching causes them to doubt. And it just has grieved my heart. But I'm so thankful for the young people who've not let that interfere with their faith, who have kept their faith, who have maintained their integrity, who have maintained their virtue. Praise God for them. They had a better foundation in the home than perhaps the others. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A lot here about wisdom. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And unto us which are saved It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This is one of those passages I'd recommend that you study carefully. Let God speak to your heart about it. Where is the wise? Nope, I missed one, didn't I? Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And well, you could go on down to verse 21, then pick up again in chapter 2 and verse 10, and go through chapter 3 and verse 3. It makes a comparison of the wisdom of God with the wisdom of the world. And oh, how we need that. How we need that. We have the wisdom of God as a child of God, but how often we slip over into the flesh. I do. I'll admit it. I do foolish things. I knew better. The true wisdom of God will see us through. The book of Proverbs is a gold mine regarding wisdom, both godly and worldly. We just contrasted there in chapter 2 the benefit of wisdom which God gives instead of the wisdom of the world. In Proverbs 2:16, godly wisdom would enlighten your understanding. And that's what I need more of all the time. I need to understand. He will give you prudence. The word prudence simply means know how and when to use his wisdom. Knowing how and when to use his wisdom. Again, referring back to Proverbs chapters 8 and 9. Mark that one down as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through chapter 3 and 3. Proverbs 8 and 9. It talks about God's wisdom and puts it in such a personal way. It says, I was brought up with him. I mean, it just blows my mind when I think about God and his infinite wisdom. He is omniscient, all-knowing. There's nothing God doesn't know. And it says, I was brought up with him. In other words, wisdom was part of God when he told us he was. Again, going back to our text here in James 3, 14. But we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. And notice these terms that he uses. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife are, there's confusion and every evil work. We're going to run out of time before I get through with this section. But I thought about Onesis. You remember Onesis? Many years ago, Jackie Kennedy married him after the death of John F. Kennedy. He owned an island, and I watched his life story on a video one time. He came to America and got a job. He was very industrious. One of his early jobs was working a PBX board for the telephone company. And he learned that he could listen in on telephone conversations and still do his work. And he would listen in on some of the business people. And so he learned how to get ahead and cheat and scheme. And he learned it well. He became a multi-billionaire. His business is still going today. I wonder where his soul is. Young man asked me one day, my wife and I, to come over for the evening, and one talked to me. We went in his office, and he said he was talking about going into business for himself. I said, it's wonderful. I think it's great. But you must, if you want to be a success in business, you must go by the principles of the Word of God. You must go to make a success of your business and find happiness in it and usefulness in it, and I'll be glad to help you along the way. Well, he moved away to down to Belle Plaine and went into business, and I wish I could tell you that it all worked out for the glory of God, but it didn't. Very sad. I saw him years later, and he said, you'd be surprised, preacher, what a case of beer and a hamburger fry will do for your helpers. I said, I don't think there's near as much good if you'd have a devotion with them in prayer. Anyway, bitter envy and strife. Well, we're going to stop there for the day. Bell is rung, and we need to turn it over to the next preacher. I hope you're praying about the next Sunday. We're going to have this one, at least one more, probably two more lessons on pursuing holiness, looking for the wisdom of God. Lord, we pray your blessing on our hearts for understanding, that we'll use what you've given us for your glory. We know that when you get the glory, that you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.